how would you handle the media today if you were in Kyle Dubas's, Brendan Shanahan's, and Sheldon Keefe's position?
Well, unfortunately, I have been many times where my teams either missed the playoffs or were eliminated early. So I have great experience in this regard. But I think at some point you've got to offer some solutions and not just that, hey, we came up short or a few bad bounces. I think you've got to announce a roadmap and say this is what we're going to do, and acknowledge mistakes that were made, which I was always willing to do. That's one thing. As a GM, I'm always willing to admit, yeah, that this didn't work. And I think that's really, it goes a long way with your season ticket holders. So, you know, to me, and I don't feel it's piling on. I think in the media, there's a lot of piling on. And they'll say, oh, the roster's constructed poorly, or the cap wasn't handled right. And I really feel at Sportsnet that we have called these flaws out in real time. We have been on this story as it evolved from the signing of John Tavares, signing a Nylander, signing a Matthews, signing a Marner, that it was a flawed model as far as the cap goes and did not allow proper roster construction, and that the team wasn't built for playoff success. So I don't feel like we're piling on.
Well, and there have been times in the past, Brian, where Kyle Dubas has said, look, it is not my intention, for example, to trade William Nylander. If there's one thing I'm thinking today, and this doesn't do much for a hot take artist on sports talk radio, so I acknowledge that, you know, I stand to gain if Kyle Dubas brings gas in a match to the press conference today. But I can't imagine it is in his best interest to paint himself into a corner by making definitive statements about particular players or particular styles, at least not at this point.
Well, he's going to have, I agree on particular players, and that's, you know, I mean, it's clear to me the best route out of this is to trade William Nylander. I got nothing against William Nylander. I just don't think who else can you trade? Can you trade, or do you want to trade? Do you really want to trade Austin Matthews? No. Could you move John Tavares with that ticket now? I don't know. And do you want to trade Mitch Marner? No. So the logical solution here to me is William Nylander. Not because I don't like him as a player. I he has big holes in his game for me. But I'm not picking on him as a player. I said that on TV after the game. I said, look, he's a good player. Also, the structure of his contract makes him more conducive to moving. So he's a $7 million cap hit, but only five cash. So a team that wants to save money but has cap room would have some attraction or interest in him, my guess is. And I see it as the best solution. Will he commit to that today? No. But I think he has to provide some answers, too, that they're committed to fixing some of these flaws.
With Freddie Anderson, I like what he's done with the Leafs, Berkey, but coming in your last year of your contract, what's the best way to handle a situation like this? Do you let a guy play out his year, or do you try to move on from him if you can't lock him up? How does that work, especially with your goaltender?
Well, I don't think you can extend him right now. I mean, I think you have to let him play at least part of the season and see how it goes if you don't move him in the offseason. I don't know. I don't know what I'd do there, because it's not his fault to allow the goal he allowed to Liam Foodie, just a horrible goal, but it's not his fault to hang that loss on him when they don't score. Unless mm-hmm. the Leafs get a goal in the game, that goal didn't cost them the game, but it was a backbreaker. And there have been too many of those. And I really like Freddie. I like him as a person. I like him as a player. I think he's a legit number one goalie. But at some point in a marketplace, you have a shelf life. And how much rope is he going to get from fans, if we even have fans in the building? How much rope is he going to get from fans at Scotiabank Arena next year if he allows a soft goal early in the year? And again, there won't be fans in the building for some time, but at some point you got to look at moving on.
Do you say this offseason, Berkey? Because it gets awkward, right? If he goes into his so-called lame duck year, the final year of his contract, he'll be looking to re-up. And if you're telling him, well, we're not going to re-up you right now, I don't know if it causes friction, but it gets weird, doesn't it?
I could care less what players feel in those situations. I really never cared. Like, I'd be like, if you played better, we'd have extended you in the offseason. You didn't, so we're going to wait. And is it hard on a player mentally? Was it hard on me being a lame duck GM? Yeah, it is. But too bad. You got to do enough to earn that contract, to earn that settlement in the summer. And they haven't done enough. Not just Freddie, but none of them have. So to me, I think they could be as obnoxious as they want to be on contracts right now.
To circle back, Ziggy, do you want to pick up on Anderson? Because I want to circle back to Nylander.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, to circle back to William Nylander, Berkey, what do you think they could get for him? If you're advocating trading him, what could they get in return?
They've got Morgan Riley as the legit number one defenseman and power play quarterback. They got Jake Muzzin, who on a really good team would be a 3 or a 4, but he's a 2 on this team. So let's see. If you have a 1 and a 3, what's missing there? You got to try and get a defense and they can play in your top pair. And you might be able to. It'd be probably a younger guy now. But remember when Seth Jones went to Columbus, he wasn't Seth Jones. He's not the player he is today. But you could get, I think, a good young defenseman that could play in the two-hole. So to me, I think it's obvious. And that's why I said this on TV after the game. This is like screaming at me if I'm the GM. My D is not good enough. Repeat after me. My D is not good enough. My D is not deep enough. Repeat after me. My D is not deep enough. You look at their team. They're forward. They outscored everyone this year. They scored enough goals to win almost every night. What is the part that's not working? It's keeping the puck out of your net. And you had quality goaltending for the most part. So, we're allowing too many goals and we're getting good goaltending. What else could possibly be wrong? To me, it screams, it leaps off the page as a solution. You need to upgrade your defense.
How do you decide, Berkey, with what happens in the playoffs versus what your team actually is? Do you just take the result of what you have and say, okay, well, this all has to change? Or do you take a 5 games against a team like Columbus, say we played well, this is not, who we exactly are, but, how much stock and how do you evaluate the playoffs versus your whole season?
Well, it's Groundhog Day, Ziggy. That would be a fair question if this were the first year for this group. Mm-hmm. But it's Groundhog Day. You're not evaluating. Because I see what you're saying. You have a great regular season, come up just a little bit short in the playoffs. You can't throw out the baby with the bathwater. So you say, well, we came up a little bit short, but we had a great regular season. And my response is, this is a Truman Show, right? Or Groundhog Day, whatever cliche you want. The fact of the matter is, this is not a new result. This is not a new outcome. So at some point, this is what I said on TV the other night. This team is built for regular season success. And all the analytics, you can take those and shove them up your behind as far as I'm concerned. This is all about advancing in the playoffs. So you can say we had a great regular season, and we did this and we did that, and we led the league in scoring, and our power play was this, and our puck possession was this. The fact is, you're watching on TV. You did not even qualify for the playoffs. He did not get through the play-in round. And again, not piling on. I said this before the playoffs began. The Toronto Maple Leafs report card begins after this playoff round. It begins now. Like, you got to get in and you got to do something. And they couldn't even get in. So it's Groundhog Day. So what do I say about the regular season? Garbage. Doesn't matter. I'm pretty sure they don't give a Stanley Cup at the end of the regular season. I'll check again. I'll ask the league again.
nobody ever hangs a President's Trophy winning banner, they, in the rafters?
One team has, but no.
There you go. With Brian Berkey. Berkey, listen, I mean, you've worked for a bunch of franchises, and there are people in those franchises that you report to. What are the conversations that get had, and at what periods of time did you sense the pressure ramping up? Like, I'm just wondering if Kyle over the last couple of days would be sensing a mood shift. Like, all right, it's time to start producing the next set of results here or else. Not tomorrow, not next week, but that maybe within the next year or two, if we haven't taken a step, it could be my rear end on the line.
Next year or two? I mean, I don't sense there's any pressure on Kyle job-wise. And I want to be clear, I'm not calling for Kyle's head at all. Like, I think he's Their team has gotten better virtually every year since he's gotten here, and they've he's done some marvelous things. He's a great guy. He's very active in the community. He's honest. He's transparent. I'm not calling for his head. I am calling for a change in philosophy. And if Kyle can't make that change, then I think it's really a big problem. I see philosophically they're committed to this analytics-based style of play that produces great regular seasons. That is not what we get paid for. We don't get paid to say, look, we won a President's Trophy. Look, we had 100 points. I mean, I was in Vancouver. I think we had 200-point teams, and I still got canned. So the regular season wasn't good enough for my owners there. Never, and it's never been good enough in any sport. So to me, I'm calling for a philosophical shift, which is get some bigger, angry people in the lineup, improve your defense, get it, build a team that's built for playoff success. Look at Columbus. How are they still playing and the Leafs aren't? Because they're big, they work hard, they're committed to team defense. They're not a great analytics team, but they're built for playoff success, and they're still in the trenches fighting as we speak.
I want to ask you what you thought of Jim Rutherford's comments with the Penguins and how he was kind of harsh and direct and honest and brutally honest. Is that you find his comments accurate about that Penguins team, or is that him just sending a message to his players, letting them know that there's going to be changes made?
No, Jim Rutherford is not doesn't speak idly, and he's impatient. But I think I assess that team as a team that's probably got to look at a new path here. I don't think that group was close to repeating. And I said that. I said they're the only team that had an outside chance. My prediction going in was that all the teams that played in the round robin were going to advance in the first round. Okay, and Dallas made me nervous because they looked really disinterested. Boston makes me nervous because they haven't kicked it in gear yet. But I felt that the round robin bye teams would all advance, and I didn't think Pittsburgh would have a chance to advance had they gotten in. I really don't. I think they've got to look at stripping down that vehicle and rebuilding it. I don't think they're a competitor now, and they've done a great job. Jimmy Rutherford's done a fantastic job. I like Mike Sullivan, the coach, but that group can't win anymore in my mind. So I don't think he's being harsh. I think he's being realistic.
With Brian Burke, what did you make of that 8-period game last night? I don't think there's ever been a game rescheduled as a result of a previous game, and that's what's happened to Carolina and Boston. They'll play at 11 o'clock this morning. But that's knockdown, grind it out, Berkey. Seth Jones, 65-plus minutes. It's a heartbreaker for the team that loses, and ultimately somebody always has to.
Yeah, and that's the problem with those games. My teams have only played in double overtime. And the year we won the Cup, we had two double overtime series against Vancouver. I think the hard part for that is, well, you go through, and they had a heartbreak. They played three overtime games in what, 7 days, 6 days? So the fatigue factor's got to be, no one's going anywhere near a gym or a rink today, I'm sure. They'll skate the aces and that'll be it. But the heartbreaker for that is for two teams to go that long, that hard, it is a heartbreaker. It's like, man, we put it all at work for nothing, for nothing. But I really feel Tampa Bay had the better of the play in the multiple overtimes. And I said this on TV last night. They appeared to enter the zone and then tag in some zone time and have a couple chances, even though the goal they scored, points goal, was their first shot in that overtime, I believe. But they had zone time, and then when Columbus recovered the puck and moved out, they had to change. They'd been on the ice for 35, 45 seconds. They had to dump it in and change. So I don't think they had any sustained offense at all after midway through the first overtime. So I thought the better team won. I thought the non-call on Hedman, to me, is mind-boggling. I thought it was a penalty. Still do. Watched it again this morning. But that's the heartbreak. You work that hard and play that long and still lose. Ooh.
Well, and I wanted to pick up on the Hedman non-call with you, Brian. And what is the fine balance between putting the whistles away in the name of not trying to affect the outcome of a game and yet potentially affecting the outcome of a game because you put the whistles away?
Well, to me, I think, and Ziggy will, I think, agree with this. No one wants them to put the whistles away in the playoffs, but they want a higher standard. They want it, a foul to be a penalty has to be a legitimate foul. And when I ran the referees, when I worked for the league, what I would say to the referees in training camp is, don't look for penalties, watch for penalties. There's a huge difference. And in the playoffs, these are all senior guys. You don't get to do the playoffs unless you're one of the better officials. And as the players whittle down the number of teams, so we got 16 teams now, we'll go to 8 teams, they'll drop officials too. So we want a higher standard, if you will. You've got to commit a more egregious foul to get a penalty. No one wants them to put the whistles away. Just have a different standard. We all expect it. We all want it. Let the players decide within reason. To me, that was a penalty. It was 2 minutes for mugging.
Yeah, I thought it should have been a penalty too. I watched it again this morning, and I was talking to a couple of buddies last night, and they say, well, where was the hook? Where was the hold? Or where was the slash or tripping? And I said I didn't see any of it, but it's a penalty. It's a breakaway. I don't think it matters that it's in overtime, but yeah, I think there was definitely a missed call there. I think the fact that that game went so long, I can't see Columbus coming back. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. I think that was the best situation for a team like for Tampa Bay, is have that game go long. You have Columbus coming in off of 4-6 now. I think it's tough to rebound after going that long. I don't know what your thoughts are on watching teams, and I think it can really put you out of the series, especially if you've had a tough one before.
Well, I agree, but I think Tampa Bay has a far better team than Columbus coming into this.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to remember, Tampa Bay has a great team, and they went out and made very significant changes at the trade deadline, bringing in Coleman and Goudreau, signing Zach Bogosian. Like, they realized they had to become more physical and more North American if they wanted to have playoff success. They don't forget what happened last year, and so to me, Julien Brisebois has made the most significant changes. Them and Vegas have made the most significant changes to their already good teams at the deadline. So I agree with you. This is a backbreaker for Columbus, but I didn't give them a great chance in this series anyway. I don't think anyone has.